church in Louisville area that's celebrating the 50th anniversary of Tom Williams' ministry. And so Pastor has joined them in that celebration today with the friendship of Dr. Williams. So he asked me to fill in at this point. And so I was considering what to bring and what to talk about this morning for a few minutes. And as going through, I just felt like the Lord leading me to the second epistle of John. So if we would turn there, please. The second epistle of John, we'll be talking a little bit about this little letter that carries a serious message. The authorship is, while there's some that deny scriptures anyway, that would deny that the Apostle John was the author, it's pretty well settled that John the Apostle, brother of James, follower of Christ, and writer of the gospel as well as these epistles, was the author. And John ended up in Ephesus and was pastoring a church there and in his later years. And these three epistles were kind of written together and sent along with a messenger. Those days, the travel was from place to place and by foot. I experienced a little bit of that and when I spent time on the island of Cyprus. And you just don't have a vehicle, and there weren't any. Of course, the Cadillac of the day was the donkey. But people would go, as they traveled from place to place, they would, at least Christians, because of the persecution that was going on, would seek out a place to stay. And so as people went, they would go with a letter of introduction, a letter of character, I guess, as from one to another, one believer to another. And so we see that John sent with whatever traveler this was. We don't know who it was. It's not mentioned in any of the three letters. That was going down the road and going to a place that John obviously had some relationships with believers, perhaps people that he had led to the Lord and people that he had influence in. And so tradition shows us that the Apostle John wrote the letter of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And as you'll see, there's a tie between the two, or between all amongst all three, there's a common thread. And so I think perhaps that 1 John, the five chapters, is an epistle to the church at whatever city this was. And then 2 and 3 John were notes to personal people. And Gaius, the 3 John of Gaius, of course, Gaius was a name like John Smith today. And so there's no individual that we could pinpoint who is this, but obviously a leader in the church and dealing with a problem there, as he dealt with in 1 John. And 2 John was to the elect lady. It says there in very, very first. And then verse 13, we see an elect sister. And so there are some that would like to make this out to be the elect lady is a church, but all of the arguments that they give about that are support the fact that it's an individual as well. The word elect there, we have the elect lady in English. The article is missing in the Textus Receptus, and so they use that as an argument. Well, this must be a church because it always has to have an article if you're talking about a single person. But they also refer to the pronoun or the word for love throughout this book is agape, true personal love, the everlasting choice of love. And so it would not be appropriate for the apostle to use this to address a church as a whole. And then the second plural pronoun, we. Of course, he's talking here, and he referred to the elect lady and to the elect sister, and so there's a we there anyway. So all would be appropriate for a widow and her children if he's writing a letter to a note to such a small group of people. But one of my Bible teachers in college, when we were working there, said, "If plain sense makes good sense, there's no reason to make any other sense out of it." So the plain, clear reading here is John's writing to a person he loved, a lady who obviously is a sister in the faith, and some would speculate perhaps that this was because of a name that was mentioned in other writings, that this may have been the sisters of Mary and Martha. And while verse 13 refers to the children of thy elect sister, therefore one of those sisters obviously has gone on to be with the Lord at this time, and only the children are left. So we see that John is here, and he is written, and he is desiring to be an encouragement in two areas, as well as the one is that of love, and the other is that of correction. The theme for this book, is, as well as others, is tough love. We see in John's writing, as the gospel, he is a passionate individual. He talks of himself as the disciple whom Christ loved. And he was one of the center three in the core three that among the disciples that spent a lot of extra time with Christ. And he talks about the love and fellowship in 1 John. If we go back to 1 John chapter 1, we see verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so we see that there's a fellowship there, and walking in the light and having fellowship with Christ, and then that being the common bond amongst us here, is it not? And so amongst others. The theme was love and fellowship, and we see that throughout through this book as well. So let's just read the book together, and it sounds funny, doesn't it? Read a book, but let's read the letter. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelt in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that, as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, and who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. And he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. And again, we see the love, the desire for correction, and the fellowship in the theme. The truth in love. If we look in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4, we see that as well. It says, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And so John wants to see truth propagated throughout all of the believers. And the truth is what's important, right? And I've said many times, I like to use a lot of scripture because that's the truth. And so we see that in 1 John. We read that in 2 John, and we see it also in 3 John, verses 3 and 4. He says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And so if we look at the truth, and I want to use, Pastor's talking on Wednesday night about math in the Bible. And so there, in math, there's this distributive principle. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. Okay. So let's go back to who Christ said he really was. John 14:6, I think it was. He said what? "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So if he is the truth, I'd just like to read those first six verses, substituting in a few places the Lord Jesus Christ as the word truth. So we look at the elder unto the elect lady, her children, whom I love in the Lord Jesus Christ. And not I only, but all they that have known the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever, grace be with you. Mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. And I'm going to leave that one, the truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we have received a commandment from the Father, now I beseech thee, lady, that not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is the love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard it from the beginning, that ye should walk in it. Walking in obedience to God's commandments is a demonstration of our relationship to him, and the truth that lives within us. Truth is the basis of a relationship. Christ is the common bond that we can enjoy together. And the greetings are established in the love established through that common bond of Christ. I think I experienced that more in the military ministry as we were there in the Azores, and people come through. We had some people would come for 1 week for a service. They're there, and then they're gone again. Others that would come and be there for 2 or 3 weeks and be gone again. Some that would come for 2 or 3 months and be gone. Most of the congregation would come and be there for 24 months and be gone. And in that situation, like in this day, the common bond of Christ established the relationship very early. It's just not so in churches, at least not in the U.S. and the civilian world, where we take our time and look and be sure that this person is really who he says he is, and it takes a year or two before we establish friendship. In that ministry, if it takes very little time for us to accept the testimony of who they are and the common bond of Christ that is, in fact, the source of love. And John talks about that love here. He says, the true source. "For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and it shall be with us forever." Grace be unto you in the Father, in truth and love. The source of love. 1 John chapter 4. John talks about that. And there's a little chorus that we sing from 1 John 4, 7, and 8. Anybody know that chorus? You got 1 John 4 there, looking at 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. He's the source. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Why? Because God is love. Had a young family that came to our church there, and they had twin boys, 1.5 years old. Took a few weeks for us to learn the slight differences between the boys to be able to tell them from one another. But it didn't take very long for those little boys to find their way into my heart. And I mentioned one time that I loved them. And their mother was a recent convert, maybe 2 or 3 years. She said, "How could you love somebody else's children?" My response was, I love everyone's children in my church because God has given you and they're as my children, just as you're my children. And God is the source of love, and God gives you love for one another. And took about 1.5 years for her to get the concept. But the love that God gives, if we allow it to flow through us, gives us a close bond to those around us. The word love here, again, is the word agape throughout 2 John, and that's the true decision to love and want the very best for the person being loved. And it's the only real true love. This is a love of will, not a love of pretense. A love of a firm commitment to one another and to the best for each other. And so John's saying that love should be the bond that we have amongst us and the common bond going forward in our relationship. And we talk about the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of God as he gave his son to die in our place. And it's that same kind of love that we should have one for another. And so John extends to all believers this type of love from himself. And he is writing of this kind of love to this elect lady, perhaps Martha. The bond that they established while following Christ, and which is exemplified and manifested in our obedience to his commandments to love one another. The joy of seeing loved ones grow and walk in the truth. As John refers to the nieces and nephews of this lady, perhaps Martha, he says, "And her children whom I love in the truth, not only I, but also all they have known the truth." And he says, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. So obviously he was aware, and perhaps in his church were the nieces and nephews of this lady that he's writing at this point. And obviously it's good to see that your children walk in truth. And it's painful to see those when they disobey and walk not in the truth as well. And I think of of those families that were in our church in the Azores as they've gone on, and we've heard get correspondence from them and gone back and visited some. It's great to see them walking in truth and continuing in the faith and going forward. And, of course, it's good to watch from my perspective now as my grandchildren, and I'm sure you watch your grandchildren as they grow and develop and walk in the truth. And of course, the pain of those that go astray. And so John, as a pastor and elder here in AD 90, obviously in the last years of his life, looking back and writing to those whom he's known for his life and desiring that they walk in the truth and in the commandments and in the love that only God can give. So we see the theme of love. And then the greeting here of grace, verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This type of greeting is found only other places and actually the pastoral epistles. And talking about the grace, the unmerited favor of God toward the recipient. And mercy. What kind of situations would you see that need mercy? Seeking mercy. Well, one might be that of emotional distress. And this lady has lost her sister. She's probably old enough now to have lost many close relatives and friends and seen them go on. It seemed like the farther down life's road you go, the more and more sweet heaven gets as your loved ones go on. But there are also need for mercy in physical distress as well. And so either of these situations, John is wishing the best. Grace and mercy and peace, the peace that only God can give. And again, only if you've experienced it can you know what he's talking about. In a time of turmoil, and yet you're at peace. In a time of trouble, and yet you have peace, the peace of God. Grace and unmerited favor of God, the peace of God that passes all understanding. And, of course, God's mercy. And then we come out of the love, out of this love, and out of this theme of love, and the desire for the very best of the recipients of the letter, we receive a warning. And apparently John had heard and had kind of confirmed that there was a problem, and there usually is if you're not careful. And he said, there's the warning of that for many deceivers, verse 7, are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but receive the full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you bringing not this doctrine, receive him not to your house, neither bid him Godspeed. The warning of deceivers, the warning of those that would bring and try to bring in the doctrine of other doctrines, other than that true doctrine of the Word of God, of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the test, he says. Who would not confess that Christ has come in the flesh. Christ, the reality of Christ, is the test. Do they believe that Jesus is God the Son? Not just the Son of God, as some would have you believe. There's working in my front yard last summer. There's a guy came by and we talked for about 45 minutes or an hour around in circles, because I knew where he was coming from and he knew where I was coming from. And he thanked me for the conversation and the fact that, and the point was that they did not believe that Jesus is the God the Son. He is a Son of God. And I kept coming back to that. But he had left the Baptist church and gone off to this cult. And so this was the test. And I tried many times to get him back. And the reality of you think you're Christian, but you're not. Because you're not believing that God, that Jesus is who he said he is. Did he not say, I am? Isn't that not the phrase that Moses, that he gave Moses back when Moses said, how do I know, how will they know that you sent me? And he said, say unto them, I am hath sent thee. And then Christ, when he was confronted, said, I am. Who is Christ? God the Son of God. And so John says, if we accept Christ, then we accept the Father. If we accept not Christ, then we accept not the Father. Not only the reality of Jesus Christ, who he was, that he was born, but that he is virgin born. As the Gospels clearly speak, as we read in the first chapters of Luke and Matthew, the fact that the Holy Spirit brought the conception unto Mary. And the bodily resurrection is also key. And the free atonement of Christ. The fact that the promise that all who come to him, he will no wise cast out. And that the blood of Christ can be applied to anyone who is willing to come and to repent of their sin and accept him for who he is. And that's key. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ is key to determining the false teachers. And so in this day and in this age, the false teachers would come. Of course, most Christians at this point were Jews. And then the Jewish synagogues, of course, would be there. But there was those that wanted to add to and change and rest the scriptures. And we see that today more and more. But John is saying, look to it. Be careful, because the truth is important, and that the fact that there are deceivers, and we see it in First John chapter 4. We see the same warning. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Verse 3 says, every spirit that confesseth not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. It's here. Beware. Test the spirits. Find out whether the person that's coming, that's trying to convince you of something, is a true believer or is an antichrist. And we see it in 3 John as well, as he was discussing with Gaius, the verses 9 and 10. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Okay, so he's probably referring to the letter that 1 John that he wrote to the church. But there's somebody there that's trying to reject John and his authority as an apostle and a leader in the church of that day. He says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. And so we see a person that is trying in that church that actually is rejecting the true gospel and creating a havoc in the church as a result. And so John was trying to deal with that in the letter to the church, as well as to the letter to Martha, and if that's who it was, and to the letter of Gaius, who is mentioned by name. Says, receive not their doctrine, receive them not. And and be careful, because you should not be supporting them in any way. If there are any come unto you, bring not this doctrine, receive them not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. So don't bring him in. As I said, this man came to my front yard. I was talking to him in the front yard. Had I wanted to bring him in the house, and I could have gotten my Greek Bible out and showing him a few things, and a Greek New Testament and the interlinears that I have, and prove my point from scripture standpoint. But this verse rang in my head as I thought about that. Don't accept them. Bid them not Godspeed. Confront them. And bring the truth against them. Guard yourselves that you're not deceived. Beware. But we need to not fellowship. And so he's telling us to be wise with whom we fellowship. But we need the fellowship of fellow believers. We need the encouragement of one another. And John here is giving that encouragement. And in fact, he says, I have many things that I want to write to you. I got a lot to say. I love you and I want to encourage you and I want to be a help to you. But I'm not going to do that in the formal manner of the impersonal manner of a letter. I'm going to come and we're going to have a visit. And so... He is demonstrating again his love and his desire to be an encouragement to the fellow believers and to teach the truth of Christ, God the Son. We are to love, but our love is to be strengthened and guided by the truth. We need in our lives to heed the warning of John, to study. Paul said, study to show thyself approved. Ushers, come ahead. Study to show thyself approved unto God, that a right workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And so we are to study and to know the truth and to have our love guided by the truth. And so the love of God can flow through us to those about us. Last night, as Jackie was working on a little project, she said a little birdie was whispering in her ear. And our neighbor has gone through a lot of pain in the last 2 years, and she apparently had a real rough week. And we didn't know anything about it, but as Jackie was, she was working on something for her kitchen and a little decoration to put on the wall. And once she got the prototype done, she said, I'm gonna take this and show it to Jenny. And she went and was gone for about 2.5 hours. And Jenny needed some encouragement and some help. Last week was the first week that Jenny went to Sunday school in addition to church. And she had some attacks. And she says, I want to go to Wednesday night too. And Jackie said, But these attacks, you know, everything's going wrong. And Jackie said, yeah, you're wanting to know more about Christ and somebody's mad. And so we encouraged her. And that way, she's our neighbor, but she does nothing in Adrian because of the events of her life. And so she's going to a little church down in Medina. And obviously, from what she says, she's getting the truth. He found a place of a real pastor and is getting the truth and is learning. And so we're encouraging her in every way that we can to do just that and to spend more time. And she'll talk to Jackie, and Jackie asks her this. She says, well, my counselor said that. How do you guys know all about this? You know, and it's right out of the Word. She'd talk about something, and then Jackie'd say, well, you know, ask something about context of a verse someplace. God, Lord, Holy Spirit would bring a verse to mind, and Jackie'd throw it out there, and she says, my Bible teacher said that. So being an encouragement to those around and studying to know so that the Holy Spirit can use that in your life to help those others around you. John says, I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. And again, it's good to see those with whom that you're praying for and working with, to see them grow in the Lord and walk in their faith and grow in their faith, and to see the results of the work of God in their life. That's what I missed about the pastorate, is being able to see God work through us in the lives of others. So John, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, not only I, but all they that have known the truth. Do you know the truth today? Are you showing his love to those around you? Are you being encouragement? Are you being careful with your study of the word to ferret out the deceivers and not encourage them and not in fellowship with them, but to work with those who know the Christ, God the Son? Be an encouragement. Be a source of love. Be a funnel that God can use to pour out his love to those around you. And you'll experience the peace of God and the love of God as it works in the lives of others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. Love so great that you poured out your Son's lifeblood on the cross for us. Father, we thank you for your word that gives us guidance and direction in our lives. We thank you for this small epistle of 2 John that talks so much about your love and the fellowship that we should have together and the circumspectness with which we should walk life's road. Father, we pray that each one here today would take this to heart and apply it to their own lives, that we would love one another and fellowship together more and be an encouragement to one another, to help one another. And Lord, to be careful of the deceivers that are about all around us today. I ask that you would guide and direct and bless in the next hour. May Christ be lifted up and all the saints be edified, we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.